Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
Cue the, what is it, Waterboy? What is the meme? We suck again?
We suck again.
Or is it...
That's Waterboy.
Is it still we sucka? Is it we still a sucka?
So. Do we suck? Do we suck?
Yeah, we suck.
Okay, I was just making sure. So. I wasn't 100%.
Full go. I've given the coaching staff enough, and I just can't do it anymore. I've teeter-tottered. And all that good stuff. I'm fully off of any kind of train. And I just can't do it anymore, man. No going back. This is a coaching deal from the get-go. And really, I just want to lead off with a thought I had after watching the post-game press conference with Chad Morris, which I knew a few things would happen. If you've ever listened to it, especially this year, post-game, he was going to say there was going to be a lot of hurt in that locker room. So go ahead and mark that one off because that was said. And then unacceptable or not acceptable or some variation of that.
Starts with me,
that whole good thing. But this is as soon as I watched it and I said, word of the day for the post-game interview for Chad Morris. Reevaluate. Reevaluate the QB. Reevaluate QB options. Reevaluate his role in play calling. All of this is coach speak for I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Oh. He don't know what the hell he's doing.
He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Across the board, this stuff should be ironed out in terms of the little things of the game. Like, if he wasn't comfortable with Joe Craddock, then he shouldn't have Joe Craddock as the offensive coordinator and calling plays. You have him as an offensive coordinator, you call the plays. He said he has a big role in it, whatever it needs to be. But honestly, I don't think that's going to be the solution to all our problems because we still have Chavis on the other side.
That's a big problem, for sure.
That's definitely a big problem on the front there. And
can we point something out, though? Or can I point something out?
Go ahead.
We didn't get beat up on the edges as much. This time we mixed it up and we're giving everything up the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you have a running quarterback, which we talked about in the preview show. He threw it, not looking at the numbers here, but 8 times, I think.
Something like that. I think they had another guy that threw one, completed it, of course.
Right. So. You can't load the box. And, I mean, how many times did you see him dropping back into coverage? It's like, what the hell are you looking at?
Yeah. And then, man, the post-conference. I mean, it is pretty awful to go back and watch that post-game press conference because just so much things that if you knew about it, like in terms of, well, I knew pretty early he was off talking about Nick Starkle. Then
is that him?
I mean, it's I've gone full onto the dark side, as somebody would say that messages quite frequently, Andy. And he's not wrong. Like, it's just not going to cut it. I don't see it. He's a glorified recruiting coordinator, I think, for the SEC. Until he can get
so you're saying get rid of him.
Yeah, whatever he's got to do. BOTs, put it together. I don't, because the talent is there.
We're losing it. Loss.
Yeah. On top of that, yes, we have a 4-star that decommitted pretty much as soon as the game was over.
So somebody called him out in a respectable way. It was more of a, hey, man, just say it. We can take it. Yeah. Just say you're leaving because we suck. Talking about Tykes Crawford. And he posted picture of him and his Arkansas stuff on the recruiting trip before the game. Said, game time, 100, let's go. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to head out.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as the game was over. And it sucks, but you can't blame him.
On top of that, he was getting a little bit more pressure from LSU and A&M. So
why the hell? Well, A&M can suck a banana, but why the hell wouldn't you want to go to LSU right now?
Right? Yeah.
LSU, they might mess around and win the damn national championship this year. Well, they look that good.
Well, jumping to two definitely helps that in the poll. So.
Yeah, and me and you didn't talk much during the game. We talked a little bit, but I was down visiting family, and me and my dad were watching the game, and it is insane how you, and Kentucky's not good either, by the way. I don't know if anybody knows that, but you watch Arkansas and Kentucky play, and then you flip over to the Florida LSU game. It is a completely different ball game.
Yep.
I mean, physicality, skill set in general, quarterbacks knowing what the hell they're doing. I'm not on fire Morris yet. I just don't understand how you can do that. And
I understand it creates a cycle and all that kind of stuff, but.
And your famous words, Dylan, who are we going to get?
Who are we going to get? I mean, I feel like there's some guys that we have looked at. I'm not throwing names out there until it's official when it comes, you know, because I don't think it's going to go that route.
He's not going to get fired.
No, he's especially not. He's probably got another year and a half because at this point, we can only go up because a loss to Western Kentucky is going to be the same as a San Jose State loss. Ty Story is going to be a Heisman candidate after he plays us, if he plays us. I think he's still number two on their depth chart. But there's definitely some guys out there. As a little Easter egg, I will say 23 in the nation. And if anyone wants to do the research and know who I'm talking about and why I'm talking about it, they can hit us up on Twitter and figure that one out. But there's enough people that are throwing out random names and trying to go get somebody. We're not the Urban Meyer name. I can't believe it was in full tilt. Of course, Houston know it was getting brought back up. The Bobby Petrino welcome back package was there. These are all, do you want this again? The only one that I might entertain was actually Houston Nutt.
I would entertain Houston Nutt. Let me ask you this one, though, because me and my pops were talking about it. Why has Gene Chizik not gotten any phone calls from anybody?
He's probably happy where he's at.
I wouldn't hate that. Would you hate that?
I think
he got done dirty.
I think he got done dirty. That's a good way of putting it at Auburn. But I also think that he can put together a good staff.
Just looked up number 23. Seriously?
Let me see who it is. I mean, I might be wrong on the rankings, but yeah.
I hope it's not them. But anywho, but you think Chizik's just kind of off the wagon there?
Yeah.
Like is he? But you know, everybody thought Gruden was cush there at ESPN too, and he took some money.
Sorry, 24. We're not gonna go 23. We're not gonna go for 23. I apologize.
Okay, well, just for the people at home listening, I looked it up, and it was Memphis, and that means Norvell, and that means Andy,
Andy,
and you have some.
Andy and I have drinking the same Kool-Aid, no. And I don't know which one you're seeing, because that's not the right one either. I'm looking at AP. So.
Okay, anyway, we'll get on past that. But so today's Sunday. We record our recap shows on Sunday. Nothing's been said as far as anything happening, so that means it's still going to be Chavis, it's still going to be Craddock. They're not saving any kind of firing for a press conference on Monday, so that sucks, man. Our defense is abysmal. Starkel, there might have been something to that Beaver shirt. I don't know, but he doesn't look like the same quarterback. Hicks comes in, and me and you talked about freaking Starkel's swagger. Hicks is carrying the swagger now. He's juicing that team up. He's making good reads. Like, what is going on?
He's definitely not the same dude. I feel like right now the whole summary, and you've already said it just now, is I like to kind of bring it back into GIFs because that's what's happening right now. GIFs, GIFs, right. Whatever you want to call it. But there's no other way to describe this season than Jim from The Office looking at that camera and going, what is going on? Because that is exactly how I feel this season.
The problem is that's played out because it's so damn accurate.
Yeah.
I don't. What do we do, Dylan? Like, we're fans doing this show. What do we want to see? You want to see fired? I absolutely disagree there, but I don't think there's a reason Chavis should finish this season.
Right.
I don't think there's a reason Craddock might have something going on if he keeps Hicks, which is so freaking stupid to say now.
It is crazy because the play calling does get better with Hicks in there, and that's pretty obvious that there was a problem with Starkle. I mentioned that last episode or whatnot, but the issue I have with that is you had Nick Starkle as your QB1 for 3 weeks straight, essentially, right?
Right.
You are the, not QB guru. You know, we're not talking Dan Mullen or anything over here, but you also get credit for the Deshaun Watsons, Todd Boyles, and those folks that you were near in Clemson. And
right.
That's kind of what I'm worried about right now is I feel like he basically is riding off of the Clemson train, and just because he was sniffing it, it's like a, 6 degrees of separation kind of deal. And you can't – all of the intangibles are there and with Starkle, and you just saw digression. So is the guy hurt? Is this another deal where we have Austin Allen, pushing through kind of deal, and it is looking weird from the outside in, and we are trying to force something? Well, again, that goes back to a quarter or coaching decision.
It is all circling back to coaching.
Everything, every problem with this, you go back to the guy in the red hat. That's it. Give me something that isn't his fault.
The defense, that is him needing you. You're hard on him when it comes to making those decisions, and it is looking a little like he's tiptoeing around everything there. I don't think that this guy doesn't know football, though. I don't think that this guy can't figure it out.
Right.
I think the SEC is a huge monster. I mean, people want to talk about him coming from SMU and SMU getting better after he left and all his bull crap. Don't agree with that. I mean, they're obviously better, but I don't think it's because he didn't have anything to do with it. I don't think it's because he's gone. You've got to figure out how to coach in the SEC. I think he's not used to how, yesterday we were up 13-0 and how these teams, even though it's Kentucky, the SEC still holds better caliber players all across the board. I don't think he's used to how these teams can jump back on you so quick.
Right. No, he doesn't have aggression, that's for sure. And I think
he might be scared, though. I mean, why would you want to be?
He is scared. 55 seconds, 2 timeouts, and you ain't going to do crap with it. And then in the post-game press conference, going back to that, you're going to sit there and go, I was going to see if they were going to use their timeouts.
Okay, well, you give that 3 seconds, and if they don't, you use a timeout. You don't wait past that.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I do agree with that. That was one of the things that we talked about during the game.
And at that point, we had some juice behind us.
Right.
Boyd was still good. And for whatever reason, we were still moving the ball pretty good. Even with 55 seconds, that's an eternity with 2 timeouts, stopping after first downs. In college football, 55 seconds, you can get in field goal range when you have one of the top 5 best kickers in the college right now.
Let me ask you this, too. What is the deal with our lack of momentum hurry-up offense? Kentucky was getting on the ball within 5 freaking seconds. It takes us, on average, I'd say no less than 12 seconds to get set. And we're supposed to be this hurry-up offense.
For them, installing with a QB12, wide receiver 1, whatever it was, they're going to condense it to them. If I was in that spot, we're definitely going off of a wristband with maybe 24 on there at the most. Variations left, right, that kind of deal. And I don't necessarily know. I haven't watched their sidelines too much to know if they're kind of one of those cue card or how they essentially do it, but they're going to have a condensed deal, which is going to make play calling easier. Because guess what? They didn't have to do much to us. We were so confused defensively because there was a wide receiver back there that we threw everything at him. We were doing, as you heard on the broadcast, we were doing bear fronts. We were going man at the end. We were don't even get me started on that man. Oh, against a running quarterback, you're going to have your whole back end turn away from him.
Yep, that's 100%. We're on the same page there. And as you mentioned yesterday, you're going to blitz the strong side, and then so the weak side defensive end is going to do a stunt inside. Why the hell are you going to do that? And what freaking universe does that make sense on a defensive scheme side?
I don't know.
And if that isn't designed, then that goes back to coach. Either way, it's coaching. Because if you see a player doing that, that's not new.
Yeah,
if that's his,
you can see that crap from the sidelines or the booth. It don't matter. That's not the adjustment right there. Again, I like Juracek. So it goes back to Juracek. He is ultimately, you know, truly this isn't his guy. He didn't hire the guy. I have faith in Juracek to do the right thing. And Chad Morris, at this point, you have to give us something. You're coaching for a job. But the problem is, I feel like he's going to do the most Arkansas thing and win a game he's definitely not supposed to, in probably ugly fashion.
And then maybe that's exactly what he needs, though. It's the same for players as it is for coaches. Coaches need a little bit of motivation, too. So, screw around and beat Mississippi State. They're winnable. Yeah, I mean, they are winnable. But
the Texas A&M team versus Mississippi State is winnable.
But right.
We are so – it's the most Arkansas thing, Jekyll and Hyde deal. Like, years and years we've seen this where we just seem like we're a completely different team week by week. And the talent's there, I feel
defense
like –
defense is pretty consistent. They're awful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we still have really good talent back there. I mean, Scuda hasn't just left. Curl, I mean – he kind of showed out on that one, but you're gonna get shown out on a freaking.
Yep. That was terrible coverage, but whatever. We don't want to talk about Curl. We know what we got with him, but
NFL coverage is taking that. We should have been picking him off like crazy.
And whatever. So we can talk about the game. We can talk about how pissed off we are about the game.
It is a recap, so in case you didn't know, we lost to a wide receiver 12, or quarterback 12. I don't know where he was at on depth chart. I think, honestly, it was a 3 or 4.
I don't think he was there.
And so, I mean,
it was kind of... I mean, maybe he was technically on the depth chart, but they were like, okay, well, this guy threw the ball in high school, so worst comes to worst, we're going to beat a freaking SEC team.
The only good was Boyd is still on the team. I've said it since game
every
one.
Every week.
I've said it every week. Every game, we don't deserve him, honestly. I'm glad
that. Careful with that free agency deal.
I'm glad that he's a Razorback. Well, at this point, he can go pro and go somewhere. It wouldn't be a good level.
I don't want him to.
It's probably going to be like a 5-6 round, something like that. But, I mean, you really want to stick around for another year? It's not going to get better.
We start Hicks.
Do we start Hicks next year or next week?
This year, this week. Yeah, we have to.
Yeah,
we have to. Yeah. It's so bad, dude. That is so. What the hell happened, man?
Starkle would leave probably on the stretcher against Auburn.
Yeah, that's something that Hicks. That dude. I'm not backtracking on anything I said about Hicks. He still ain't got no arm. But dude's pocket presence is impressive.
At this point, healthy dose of Boyd Whaley. They say that Spivey is getting brought up. You still have Hammond somewhere in there. I don't know the Hayden deal. Healthy dose of those guys. Keep them fresh. Nickel and dime on the passing side, that's kind of where the RPO is at. I mean, right. You're not really taking too many chump plays on that, and you limit him to probably inside 20 yards and hope that your receiver can do something after that.
But work with him.
Yep.
Like, you got to work on those deep shots when we need them. Because problem is if you end up in a dink and dunk situation, it doesn't even matter this year. But it's a lot like
Jordan Rodgers brought a lot of the criticism to the forefront because he is usually really good about that. I mean, he was a mediocre quarterback in college, but he knows the position and right. He can break it down pretty well for you. And the footwork is definitely not there. And I feel like that's going to be kind of more commonplace because there's going to be guys that trust it all in their arm and your platform goes away. And that's folks like Mahomes. Mahomes has arm talent for days. The footwork right. is there 70% of the time, but he can throw off those unique platforms. Now, you can't watch Mahomes and be like, oh, man, he can go do that, and be like, oh, I can go do that in the game. No. You still That's have to stick with works. The fundamentals.
Right. Like, Mahomes is a different beast. Rodgers is a different beast. Brett Favre had a birthday the other day, and they put his highlights on Twitter. You kind of forgot what he could do off of different platforms, but – I mean, I named, what, three guys right there? Yeah. I mean.
But ultimately, the guy that you go for footwork, no matter where you're at, what who you align with, the best person, if I'm telling any quarterback, you got to go back to Peyton Manning and watch his right. footwork because he's constantly going. And really, you should constantly be having your feet going, keeping those eyes downfield. So many things. The intangibles are there.
What do you think? You mentioned injury. Do you think it's an injury thing, or do you think Starkle –
I don't know.
Did he get complacent? I mean, did he think he won the job and it's his? And because he is nothing like he was against Colorado State.
Oh, if this
you can talk about talent as far as who we're playing against, but those throws were still good throws. Those decisions were still good decisions.
We weren't seeing anything crazy, in terms of defensively. I mean, I really want to go back to it because on the defensive side of the ball, because that was ultimately the issue, is the defense. You can go back to the offense because the third quarter, the defense saw 54 run plays, and they were worn down. And they, 70% of the third quarter was Kentucky's ball.
Yeah.
I think we only had two possessions in the third quarter. And we got our first down with like 8 seconds left in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Of the second half. So that makes it obviously difficult on the defense because they're on there so long, but the offense has to help them out. But going to the defense, you cannot tell me that KJ Jefferson couldn't just mimic everything in terms of scout defense because there was nothing unique that we were seeing on offense. Basic RPO, wildcat stuff, the peel out by the tight end that they were thinking was changing the world is install number one in a package like that because it is a variation of Tim Tebow's jump pass. This is something right. you've seen for years, decades. Nothing unique on that front. So, again, I'm going back to it. Head coach.
I'm having a hard time with that. I'm not going to say – Yes. Dylan, it's tough, man.
There's solid arguments across the board, but there is not an argument to keep him.
Recruiting, I honestly think that's a good enough argument to keep him for another 2 years. I honestly do because you have, like, he's got one recruiting class on the field right now, essentially.
And he's not doing anything with it.
They're freaking young, bro.
It's not the players that aren't executing.
Some of it's execution. You, as much as I hate Chavis, I'm not going to sit here and try to say that those.
Oh, there's definitely some hero ball happening where guys lose their mind out there. And it's definitely more likely on the defensive side. In terms of losing their mind or not staying inside the system, it's happening more on the defensive side.
Well, there was a bumper pull open the game with 6 straight tackles, I think. About 3 of those he had no business making, but maybe, though, in that scenario, he knew. Like, they ain't going to do nothing. They're going to run right, run left. I mean, essentially, until they started destroying us up the middle.
In which way you can do a delay on the backside with your safety to bait them into it. So wherever
that kid, you know, he can't read defenses.
Yeah. So you bring down that strong side safety, and he's going to see that. And at that point, he's going to be like, oh, as long as my tight end clears that guy, I'm going to pop him over that. But here's what you do with a weak side safety. He's coming underneath. You bring it, right. And then you have that underneath coverage, and then there's your pick six.
Yep.
I didn't see that once.
No, there wasn't anything fanciest.
They ran that 8 times, 12 times. Like, do it once. Take the chance, because what you're doing now isn't helping. And like I said, they were throwing everything against the wall in terms of defensive formations and schemes to see what would stick. And then when it did, they were like, oh, okay, well, we'll use that later.
Right, and they wouldn't go exactly. Back to it. I mean, there's no reason to set up any fancy fronts at all. I mean, a simple 4-3, like you said, you can still do the safety blinds and all that stuff with it, and it's couch coaching is what we're doing right now. But against that particular team, that particular quarterback, it is literally that easy.
Yeah.
If you know 20% of football, you know how to stop that. I'm serious though. Did we load the box once?
There was a
and
few
stay
times.
And stay in it though, and stay in it.
I don't know.
There's a lot of bailouts. Yeah. Just, I would have made that boy throw the ball 30 times that game. There's absolutely no reason. What did he have, 198 rushing yards?
Yeah.
Freaking quarterback. I don't give a shit if he's a removed wide receiver or not. He's at the quarterback position.
Yeah. We held Leonard Fournette a few years back to like 17 rushing yards, and we shut them out. And why did we do that? Or how did we do that?
Loaded the box.
We loaded the box. That Fournette's not going to run over 100 yards against us. We made their crappy quarterbacks, because I think they threw two at us that game.
Yeah.
Try to throw.
I believe it was.
They didn't. So, and that's the last time we broke a streak like this. I think, what are we at? 14 SEC losses right now? 14? 15?
I don't know. It's not good.
It's definitely not looking good. We're staring down. Oh, man.
It's so tough. We look forward to this every year. And we're, you know, we could end the year with two wins again. We're going to watch all the recruiting. We're going to hopefully enjoy some basketball. Pretty damn certain we're going to enjoy some baseball. Then after baseball ends, we're going to be all hyped up for football again. We're going to hopefully have another good recruiting class, and we're going to be here again.
How are we going to have a good recruiting class right now? We're losing recruits more than we are gaining.
We did last year, though. I mean, I don't know how we're going to. I'm not a recruiter. I don't know what to offer these kids. I mean,
because at that time,
as adults, the idea of building something is exciting to me. Like what we're doing here with JRD and stuff, that's exciting. Starting from the bottom and all that stuff. That's exciting stuff. To a 17, 18-year-old kid, I get it. I get that I want to win now. I want to do 3 years, and I want to go get paid.
Yep.
But that's what you're just going to have to recruit some grinders, man. That's all you can hope for.
I'm not.
Otherwise, what, though?
Going back to having faith in Juracek, if I have faith in Juracek and he decides to keep Chad Morris along, ultimately I am a Razorback fan, so no matter what the decision is or who the head coach is, I'm going to root for them. I'm not canceling it out. I'm not one of those jumping it off. I am perfectly fine with getting hurt
like
this.
Tune in to all the misery every week.
Yeah, I will hurt myself every week because that's just what I do. You also have to keep in mind that I'm a Jacksonville Jaguars and a Razorback fan, so I know losing. But it's frustrating when you see some amazing level talent that we're essentially wasting away.
That's true. And like I said, it was quite an eye opener flipping the channel over. You can watch 15 seconds of it and see the difference. it shouldn't be that big of a gap.
The only reason, and it is terrible, but the only reason you are hesitant to fire Chad Morris is because of current talent. So, I mean, that might have to, if you fire him now, you obviously go an interim route, but at this time, you look at the roster, the staff, and you're like, who do you look at? Me, personally, the only one that I would...
Lenny Jr.
Yeah, it's Lenny Jr. I think I'm biased on that front, but...
Well, producer Luke asked a good question while you were absent earlier in the pre-show.
Okay.
And he's like, how many head coaches get demoted and stay on the roster as a coordinator? So my question is, do you think that he, you know, have a solid assistant coach, head coach, got to get rid of Chavis. I think you got to get rid of Craddock. What if he holds that role himself?
Offensive coordinator?
Right.
I mean, you'll have a assistant head coach or a co or something right. That's going to have that. But that's ultimately, if he does, end of the year needs to be a house clearing. At bare minimum. Like, you've got some guys that you built some really good stuff with SMU, and tell those guys that, hey, it's time for you to go venture off and find other opportunities. And I feel like Bielma did that a few times, and he probably did it too many times because he didn't.
Wait, yeah. Yeah. Too quickly, bro.
But also, the thing with Bielma is that I think our athletic department wasn't willing to pay enough for assistant coaches because you're going to have to get into the head coaching money in order to keep some really good ones. There's a reason that Venables is still at Clemson.
Right.
So, and he's not here, right? So
producer just said, did Morris peak at offensive coordinator? There could be an argument there that he might need to be a lifer. But right now, I still stand by, don't get rid of him. I think you got to give him four solid seasons.
Four.
You have to. It'd be three recruiting classes because he didn't get a fair shake the first year.
That just sounds terrible.
It sounds terrible, but we don't know yet.
Oh, we know.
I mean, hell, something, yeah, we do, but hush, we're trying to be optimistic.
Why don't they go out there and become this Alabama side of things and go get you tons of advisors? You know, Alabama's got previous head coaches out the wazoo with Butch Jones and all that kind of stuff. Go talk to Houston Nutt, have him become... You know, see if you can steal him from CBS to be an advisor or a consultant or one of those BS roles and teach this young head coach how to coach in the SEC.
Is Houston Nutt, let's kind of, you said you wouldn't hate Nutt if he was, you know, to be the head coach again. Is he fit for this modern day of football? Because he had a hard time going with that high-powered offense with Gus.
Well,
I mean, he would fall into a trap of trying to recapture what he had with McFadden and Hillis and Felix Jones and all them.
I mean, yeah, he would fall back to what he knows, but ultimately I think you can get it done with a variation of that. I'm not saying I wouldn't at this point. I'd be perfectly fine with Houston not coming back, but that it's crazy. But the advisor role, consultant.
I like that. You know, I do like that.
You know, go out and try to get him somebody that can mentor him, Chad Morris, a little bit. Because the guy doesn't have a ton of head coaching experience. What is it? We're year five?
5 years? Yeah, college. I think it's five years. And four for Craddock, right, as far as offensive coordinator goes?
And think about it. The guys that he has been under, I don't have it, but we'll go back to Clemson, right? Dabo right. was an interim from wide receiver coach. He stepped into there as a young coach there, and, you know, that's whole deal. But as a young head coach, you're not going to mentor another young coach.
Right.
Like, and when I'm saying young coach, I mean experience-wise.
Yeah.
So.
Young, literally a younger head coach experience.
There's plenty of folks out there that will, I think, help out the program in terms of
But that's Dylan Lee and Jordan Russell talking about it. Is that even being considered on the Hill right now?
Probably not, because things and stuff in Arkansas.
What's being considered, though? I keep asking you that, and it's obviously more hypothetical, but I really want to know.
I don't think they're right doing now. A damn thing. I think they're just staying the course. And they're just like,
You really think so? Yeah. You don't think he's at the office right now just having a Jason Brown moment with these guys? I mean, they're...
Well, there needs to be that, but like I said, he's too loyal to these guys. So one,
He owes nothing to Chavis.
Yeah, that's the one that will probably get the axe first, but that's also because he's a professional. Chavis has been fired multiple times.
Right. Like,
and that'll go, but you'll have to move someone into there, and it'll probably be a Caldwell role, the old man that's already on the sidelines. So...
You kind of hurt my feelings there. You honestly think nothing. You honestly think they're sitting up there doing nothing.
I think he's a bum.
Wow. Well, there you have it. He is officially 100% off of the wagon.
Give us something. Do something. It's the old meme. I keep going back to memes and GIFs, dang it. Poking the dead body or whatever it is. Do something. That's Chad Morris. The whole Arkansas fan base is poking him, saying, do something.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I just don't see what... I don't see what can be done right now. I don't see...
Anything to give a spark. If you're really set on your, you know, future, anything of that sort, throw KJ Jefferson in there.
Can't burn the kid's red shirt. I love the idea.
I mean, you got 4 games with him. If you got him, you got him.
You're just saying put the 4 games and then done. You're not saying let him ride the season out.
Well, I mean, I guess you at this point
right now it would be, wouldn't it?
You ride with Hicks for a little bit and
six games left.
So you ride with Hicks for the next 2 to get you through the gauntlet of the Bamas, Auburn and Alabama, yeah. And then get KJ Jefferson in there in Western Kentucky and play it out.
So that means right now, though, your do something is 2 weeks out, which would make you still sit here thinking he's not doing anything. Hey, you know what I mean?
This is me dogging. This is
No, I understand. But you're saying throw KJ, which no secrets here. That's my boy. I'm just high on him. But that means you're still going to be sitting here, and we're still going to be sitting here for the next 2 weeks on the wrap up shows saying do something.
Oh yeah, we're gonna see.
You get what I'm saying, though?
We're gonna have to wait for the same.
Hey, Ben Hicks might... good God, I can't believe I'm saying that. He might come in here. He ain't about to beat, you know,
no,
Bama.
You can make an offense around him. I mean, they did it at SMU.
We just won't have a deep ball threat, and that's worrisome, because if you don't have a deep ball threat, then the secondary's pressed, and then it's taken away from Boyd a little bit,
but you know
what I mean?
You also can't be scared to call the plays. You can't be scared to call shot plays. Just because you think he can't complete the throws, they still have to be there. You still have to stretch a field.
Well, what if they're sitting on the sideline thinking, I thought that they were going to blitz everybody, and I was waiting for that so I could throw the shot.
Right? I was waiting for the other coach to use timeout. That's like when we're playing Madden and you give me a bone just to keep the game going.
Just throw your little timeout in there. Like, yeah.
Let's make this interesting kind of deal.
I honestly, though, deep down in my bones, I honestly thought that we would win that game. And we showed that we could win that game pretty handily, in my opinion.
Really, we've shown that we can win every game.
Well, that's why I was telling Luke, aside from the freaking San Jose or the Ole Miss game, we've not lost by less than like 7 points.
Yeah.
So we're not getting destroyed.
Which is one thing we did say we wanted. Like, because during the Bielma era, there was a lot of ugly losses.
Whoopings.
Yeah, but those were against real teams. Like, we were getting beat by 50 by Alabama and Auburn. We just haven't gotten the opportunity to get beat by Alabama and Auburn yet. So let's see what happens in the next 2 weeks.
I mean, no, these next 2 weeks.
Because that's the ugliest thing out of a bye week.
What got me the most was that was a bye week game. That was a game out of the bye week. granted, it was for them too, but
in terms of a staff, you have nothing to. You had everyone healthy. I mean, I think there was no Colton Jackson that left, but you had, for the most part, you had your core guys there. You had the best receiving crew possible, I really think, because those guys are ballers.
Right, they are.
And you had O'Grady in there. And, I mean, heck, Colorado State still has defenders trying to tackle O'Grady right now. And we
That's one thing that was ugly as hell, though. They tried to force that way too much. O'Grady is a play-action monster. You don't need to be trying to force the ball to him out of just straight routes. Not that he can't do it, but we just don't have the threat. Like, that's our guy right now, right? Him and I'd say probably at this point Burks is probably the two main targets. There's too many weapons not to be distributing the ball. No defense should be able to hone in on any skill position guy and shut them down, because we have weapons all across the board, which is what concerns me, again, with this transfer portal. Things don't start going right. I don't think we lose Burks. I think he's probably here. But those other guys, man, Woods might even bail.
I don't know about Woods.
Him and that 5-pound chain.
Woods probably he followed Morris here. So
things would be a little bit different. Yeah.
So if Morris left, then probably.
right. O'Grady will leave no matter what.
Yeah, he's going pro. Yeah. When you see it, you go back, and there's plenty of things from a football standpoint that can bail them out. If the line isn't playing right, we can't get up and set up those play actions like we want to, because they're going to take longer to develop, all this stuff most folks should know. But that's the beauty of this RPO that we were sold. I kind of look at RPO as a new gen West Coast a little bit that allows you to get the ball out quick or make decisions a lot quicker, and it gives you more options out of it. You have three reads automatically usually on that kind of thing. You're given in a simple one, you've got a dive, you've got the quarterback run, and then you've got a slant out and something like that with your outside wide receivers, and you have those reads there, and typically you're just reading two guys out of those three reads with linebackers and safeties. So why aren't we executing it?
I don't have a good answer, unfortunately. It's RPOs, like you just explained, are simple but very effective when they're ran right.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty of things that can eat you up, because with the RPOs, your line,
especially with our weapons.
Your line honestly doesn't know really what's going on. So if you already have a mediocre line, it's going to make them look awful.
So. And we've had a Starkle, I think, you mentioned hero ball. I think Starkle wanted to be that guy. He wanted to be the guy that was throwing 50-yard touchdowns all the time. I don't think he was genuinely reading, or maybe he was.
Well, that's the knock that we heard all the way through.
His decision was made up before the snap, what he was doing, and that's just, especially RPOs, that's just not how that works.
Because in an RPO, typically you're dividing that field in half already, because you have that read to that one side of the field.
Right.
If the play is developing or holding so long to the point where you can get to the other backside of you, that's an issue. Because an RPO is designed to get it out within 2.5 seconds. That's your optimal time.
Which is why I think Hicks has been so effective. A, he's been doing it his whole career, essentially. And B, he is the senior guy. And again, I'm not backtracking on what I said about Hicks. It sounds like I am, and we never said Hicks was stupid. We never said Hicks wasn't a good quarterback. We've always said Hicks didn't have the arm. But maybe we don't need the arm right now.
Nope.
Maybe we need...
I text you. Chunk. More to the game than just the deep ball.
Yeah, more to the game than just the deep ball. And I am totally fine if we're getting 3 to 6 yards a clip. Because guess what? You only need 10 to get a first down.
Yep.
So the problem that you run into with Hicks is if you do get those holding calls, because now you've got 15 to 20 yards you're dealing with, and I don't think he is the quarterback to bail us out of those situations. But that goes back to coaching, because you shouldn't be having those types of calls that we get multiple times a game when it comes to offensive penalties.
Yep.
How many times have we covered up freaking tight ends?
That's a QB deal. So inexperience there and not checking your pre-snap stuff, that goes with it. False starts isn't really falling on them, but it also is a group deal, because false starts usually are they're jumping for a reason. If it's protection, if it's, you know, blitz, or it's a cadence deal.
Which that's something that you have to think about too, the cadence deal. That's this will be fourth time it's changed for the line now. You know, Hicks, Starkle, Hicks, Starkle. And now Hicks again, I guess. I don't know, maybe five times overall this year. Got to clean things up, and just like you said, we got a gauntlet ahead of us. It's going to be really rough, guys, so stay off Twitter. If you want to be healthy over these next 2 weeks, just stay off Twitter. Drink more. That's probably healthier for you.
I think that's kind of the big shocker of it all, is that I'm pretty diehard, I would say, on the hog side of things, and I don't drink. Well, a lot of folks ask that, give me a hog fan and not drink at all. It's like, I find other outlets, and unfortunately, that's the Jaguars, and then that opens the same conversation up there. So
you got me, buddy. That's why you don't drink. I do the drinking for us. Between me and Luke, we got you covered.
There you go. Exactly. I mean, we've gone 46 minutes of just strictly, and ranting.
So
rightfully so. But
no, absolutely, it's rightfully so, because these last two games that we've done recaps of, we were winning the freaking game.
Mm-hmm.
We were ahead in the game, and we looked good in parts of the game. And it's, I agree that it's coaching. I can't get on there with you yet for that Morris thing. But I mean, what's the big news coming out of tomorrow's press conference? Chavis is back on the sideline. I mean, is that going to be what it is?
I think something along the lines, probably on the play calling side. There should be a defensive side of the deal of some sort. We don't know the solution, but ultimately, if Chad Morris wants to be, you know, back into it and that kind of deal, at least on my side, you've got to make the adjustments. I've got to see something or hear something besides my son. But
he's telling you right now too, man.
Yeah, just yell at him. That's all you got to do. So
just holler.
Yeah. Well, you want to holler at us, our number is 479-308-8605. Text, voicemail, all that good stuff, open 24/7. Be a part of the show. Join in the action. Anything else? We might have to wrap this one, man. I don't know.
Yeah, we got to wrap this one up. Oh boy in there is getting a little heated.
All right. For the JRD Hogcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
I'm Jordan Russell.
Shout out to the producer, Luke Griggs. Sorry for the cleanup. I think the curse count is 9 to Jordan, 2 for me. I did all right. Join the action at JRD Hogcast, jrdhogcast.com. And phone number is 479-308-8605. As always, Luke Griggs. Sometimes I take it to extreme. Game day comes around, you'll see a little pride on my face. 'Cause I got season tickets to the best seats in this place. And when my team takes the field, I won't cut you any slack. I'll be cheering like a schoolgirl.